The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
You Are Here is a new love story by beloved best-selling novelist David Nicholls, exploring first encounters, second chances, and finding the way home. David is with me now, and you probably know him as the author of One Day, which was a great book, which became a movie and then became a Netflix series. David, good morning and welcome.
Hi, Pat. Nice to be here.
One Day, I mean, to have one chance at making something for the screen is one thing. To have two chances is unusual.
Yeah, it's been an amazing experience. I mean, the form, the Netflix form of many episodes, different lengths, didn't really exist when the book came out. So it's almost as if this new streaming genre has appeared, and it's a perfect fit for the book. So it's been really exciting to see it come to life again.
It's a long time since you originally wrote the book.
Yeah.
So the success of that then does reflect on your current effort, doesn't it? That people expect certain things.
I think so, yes. I mean, it's 17 years since I sat down to write the book, and it was a massive change for me career-wise. It was a brilliant experience. And for that to happen again so much later has been very strange. You know, I'm a different writer now. I feel quite nostalgic about the book. I love it, but it's very much from a different era of my life. So it's been very strange to see a group of younger people, really talented, brilliant people, bring it to life almost as a period drama now. It's such a, it's set in the 80s, starts in the 80s, a long time ago.
Now, you were already highly successful as a novelist. So in terms of the difference it made to your life, did it make any difference? Or do you just keep on doing what you're doing well?
Well, it was a great experience, and it was wonderful to have that success. I guess the only downside was that it made it very hard to write another book. And I did struggle for a couple of years afterwards. I didn't know whether to try and replicate the feel of the novel or show my versatility and write something completely different. So I found writing very hard for a while, but I got over that. And it's always important, I think, just to write the story that preoccupies you, and the novel afterwards, Us, is a novel I love very much and I'm very proud of. But I always know when people say, oh, I love your book, I always know that they're talking about One Day. And that's fine. I mean, it's not something I'd ever dream of complaining about.
Now, the latest book, You Are Here, again, exploring, I suppose, the Eleanor Rigby syndrome. All the Lonely People.
Yes, it is very much a book about loneliness. Its origins lay in COVID and that experience we had of extreme isolation. Whether we were with our families or living alone, it was a very emotional time. I think we all lost the knack of conversation. And this is about two characters, Marnie and Michael, who've really withdrawn from company. They've really lost the ability to be with their friends. They've become rather lonely and isolated, and they're brought together on a weekend's hiking holiday in the Lake District by a mutual friend, a group of people walking just for 3 days. And Michael's intention is to carry on walking right across the country from coast to coast on Alfred Wainwright's famous coast to coast path, 194 miles from the west of the Lake District to the east of Yorkshire. And there's a spark between Marnie and Michael. They start to talk to each other. They don't necessarily get on to begin with, but each of the chapters of the novel charts a different stage of their relationship. Each of the chapters starts with a map, and the map is the stage of the walk, and it's 10 stages of a love affair.
Are you a walker?
I am, yes. It's something I've been doing for a while. I every year I go away by myself for 3 or 4 or 5 days. I get as far as I can from London, and I just get off the train and start walking. And
completely on your own?
Yes, I always do it by myself, yeah. Then I don't have to worry about the weather or where we stay or how long we walk. And for me, it's time to think through ideas, listen to music, jot ideas down. It's a very important part of my writing schedule, really.
Going back to what you said about COVID and how it is really the inspiration of the novel, how is that the case? Was it that, you know, so many people were isolated?
And Yes. Marnie, the one of the main characters, she it's almost as if she hasn't reemerged into the world. You know, there was that time where people started to come out to see their friends. All of her friends have got married. A lot of them have children.
At the beginning, you talk about the life that she had, which was busy.
Yeah, yes. And she's kind of lost that. The book is a kind of emotional sequel to One Day. You know, One Day is about friendship and being out in the world and life changing in all kinds of unexpected ways. Marnie is beyond that now. She's become a little stuck. stuck.
And she talks about, when is the last time I had my photograph taken? Oh,
yes.
In the passport office. And they told me not to smile.
Yes, she has to watch a slideshow of the photo reel on her phone, and it's just receipts and dry cleaning tickets. And she realizes that she's lost touch with other people, mainly because she got divorced in her 20s and has lived alone since and has given up on the idea of romantic love. So the novel is about her rediscovering the possibility of meeting people and of change.
Now, how is it that Michael is lonely?
Well, you discover during the course of the novel that various things have happened in his marriage. His marriage is broken up just before lockdown. And unlike Marnie, he's desperately in love with his wife, desperate for them to get back together. There are various issues around their desire to have children, a tragedy that's taking place in Michael's life that he gradually reveals during the course of the journey. So he's walking. He loves being out in the countryside. Marnie is a classic Londoner. She never gets caught in the rain. She's always indoors. Michael, on the other hand, can't bear to be in the old family home. So he spends his days walking the moors just to stay away. And they're a kind of odd couple, really. Mm. I wanted to write about someone who was very resistant to the idea of hiking, spending time with someone who absolutely loves it. So that's the mismatch between Michael and Marnie.
But as a teacher, he would not have been ever much alone.
No, he's a geography teacher and a very good teacher. I wanted to write another celebration of teaching. Teachers come up a lot in my novels. For me, a very important profession. And Michael is passionate about the landscape, very eloquent, very knowledgeable, with a tendency to teach even when he's with his friends, I guess.
Walking being the motif running through the book, you talk, and there is such a thing for hiking these days.
Yeah.
But you remark, you can always tell the Londoners as they wait to get on the train. All the gear is new.
The new gear, yes. They haven't walked in their boots. I mean, it's something that's very important to me, and I do usually walk by myself, but when I walk with friends, I'm very aware of the nature of the conversations you have. You know, you're spending 8, 9, 10 hours with people. You don't have eye contact. It's not like a date. You know, you're out in nature. There's something about the rhythm of walking that I think encourages a kind of openness. I think we talk to each other differently on a long walk than we do.
You're also generally side by side, so you're not looking at each other.
Yes, exactly. So. Yeah, and I think it's almost a kind of, not quite therapy, but certainly I've had some very personal open conversations when walking that I wouldn't have if sitting in a restaurant.
Mm. And the landscape, how important is for people who've never been to these places to capture that?
Yeah, the coast to coast is a wonderful walk. I did it for research for the novel. Like the novel, it kind of has three acts. The lakes at the beginning are beautiful, very dramatic, often very wet. Then there's Westmoreland and the Dales, which is a slightly softer landscape. And then at the end, there's the kind of bleak beauty of the North Yorkshire moors.
We have enough slates in London. We don't need any more grey-slated landscapes.
I definitely approached it like a geography teacher, like Michael, and I learned a lot. It's one of those walks where you can feel the ground beneath your feet change. You can feel the difference between the slate and the limestone. It's a beautiful walk, sometimes a bit boring as well. You know, I wanted to be truthful about the misery of walking sometimes. They get caught in a lot of rain. Marnie hates the experience for quite a long time. So it's not just a sort of a stony-faced celebration of landscape. I think it's the funniest book I've ever written. I hope so.
Well, the thing that I hated when I used to do a lot of hill walking, if you wore new boots,
yes,
the blisters. The blisters are unforgettable.
Absolutely horrific. I've had to nearly abandon a couple of walks because of those terrible blisters. But Michael has a lot to say on the subject.
you were a screenwriter.
Yes.
How does that inform the way you write?
Well, screenwriting is a lot about structure. Screenwriting doesn't really have an inner monologue. You can't talk to the reader in the very direct way you can in a novel. A screenplay is about what people say and do. It's a very functional document. It's almost like an instruction manual that can be interpreted.
And you would write, for example, breathtaking landscape.
Exactly.
They
have to find it. You really can't go over the top with poetic description. There are no metaphors. There are no similes. It's a very plain form of writing. And I think because it's so much about structure and planning, I definitely bring a little bit of that to writing fiction. I don't improvise novels in the way I know some authors do, and brilliantly as well. I tend to know the beginning, the middle, and the end. I know all the major scenes. I know very much who the characters are. I think a lot about performance, even though I'm writing prose. So it's definitely influenced my novel writing. And at the same time, there are things you can do in a novel that you just can't do in a screenplay. There's no budget. There's no runtime. There's no, not the same sense of genre. You don't have to cast a novel. You can, there's no, you can write anything you want. It's terrifically freeing. You can leap about in time.
But do you cast the novel in your mind's eye?
I mean, do you have...
Michael is Benedict Cumberbatch, for example.
I have a variety of faces. I think it sometimes helps you to get the rhythm of speech, the energy, the physical appearance. And I keep it secret. I'm not just being cagey. It's just, it's a sort of private exercise, I guess. It helps me write it, but it's something I keep to myself. And it changes during the course of the novel as well. You know, and it's not necessarily a practical piece of casting. I mean, I might think, for instance, that this scene needs a kind of Katharine Hepburn energy or a Jack Lemmon voice. Okay. You know, it's a way of getting a kind of an attitude and an energy onto the page.
But because it's an odyssey, I would suspect that Marnie's pace, you know, if you're a city person, you speak at a particular pace at the beginning of the Odyssey, but by the end, you're quite chilled.
Yes, she definitely changes. She's definitely part of that tradition. I mentioned Katharine Hepburn, that kind of wisecracking, fast-talking tradition. She's very, very witty and very cynical. And she really doesn't want to be there. She's sort of been bullied into this long walk. But by the end, she has definitely opened up and not softened, but become more frank, more open to the possibility of falling in love again.
And that's the question. I mean, both had given up on the idea of new romance, I presume.
Yeah, yes.
I mean, Michael still in love with his wife, but the possibility of ever making that human connection with somebody else.
Yes, it's exactly what it's about. I wanted to write about solitude in a way that wasn't completely negative. You know, that these characters aren't, it's not a disaster, Marnie living alone. She's perfectly happy. She has all kinds of routines. She loves her work. She works as a copy editor. She loves her reading and working on books. So I didn't want it to be one of those stories where being by yourself is the worst possible condition.
It's the comparison between solitude and loneliness.
Exactly, yes. I think loneliness is an unintentional state, and solitude is something that, you know, I personally value, and which I think can be very beneficial as a time to think and gain some peace of mind and work things through. I love being by myself more and more as I get older, I think. At the same time, I want to make a distinction between that and loneliness, which I think can be much more corrosive and unsettling and frightening sometimes.
Is this likely to be a movie or a series?
There's been some conversations about that. I mean, there's a lot of dialogue.
Because you're hot at the moment, as they say in Hollywood.
Yeah, it would be wonderful. It's very different from One Day. I think what it shares with One Day is a mixture of comedy and more serious stuff and these two great roles. Again, it's about that grey area between love and friendship that I think can work really well on screen. So who knows?
All right. Well, it's a fabulous book. And it is number what in your catalogue?
It's number six. My number sixth six. Novel, yeah.
Congratulations
Thank you.
All of your great endeavours. One is wonderful. Two is better. Six is incredible. David, thank you very much for joining us. The new novel is called You Are Here by David Nichols, available in all good bookshops. And once again, David, thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.